Is this working? Yep. Mary of Nazareth, Mary of Bethany, Mary of Magdala, and the other Mary. We don't know much about the other Mary. So I asked Roger to do the other Mary. Mary of Nazareth. Who is Mary of Nazareth? Jesus' mum. Yes, excellent. There's going to be a number of issues coming out tonight to do with family life. I'll just warn you about that now. And there might be something in your life that rubs a scar or something. You might want prayer for it at the end. I'm just flagging that up now, and we're going to allow space for that at the end, because it's about mums and relationships with mums and all that sort of stuff. But I thought I'd like to make it very clear from the start that I love my mum. Okay? And if any of you, hands up if you've met my mum. Okay, some of you met my mum. Hands up if you've seen the mum film. Oh, excellent. We're going to show it again. Let's see the mum film. We did this for the assembly at Gracemont High School. And basically, it took me about 5 hours to get 5 minutes. No, 20 minutes to get 5 minutes. Well, maybe that's an exaggeration, Lindsay says. But basically, we're trying to ask her what's important in your life, because my mum's now 96. So let's see this film. Over to you, Ek. Put short in volume. That's my mum, by the way. Yeah, looks like me, doesn't she? Yeah. She's got a bit more hair than I have.
Okay, and thank you. Have you had a good life or a bad life?
I've had a good life.
What sort of things have you had to deal with in terms of your health?
Well, I've had one or two operations.
Uh-huh.
I've had an appendix, tonsillectomy. I've had the bypass operation.
Uh-huh.
And I've had a hysterectomy.
Okay. This is being filmed for a studio full of high school kids who've got their whole life in front of them. What sort of things have you done in your life?
Well, I've done nurses training.
Uh-huh.
And when I was young, I had to help my mother because I was the oldest of five.
Okay.
And I learned then to help other people.
Aye. So looking back on your life, what would you say really matters? What advice would you give the folks listening?
Well, I think simple food,
uh-huh.
Simple basic food, and that has kept us going. And just always ready to help other people.
I mean, do you still help other people now that you're 95?
Yes, there's a lady 99 in the house, and I kind of keep an eye on her.
Okay.
And I'm always ready to help in the house
with
anybody who needs help.
And would you say you're happy?
Oh, very happy. I'm at peace, content.
Uh-huh.
I don't need a lot of things at my age.
Uh-huh. And what would you say the secret of your happiness is?
Well, it's my faith.
Uh-huh.
It's my faith in God.
Okay.
God has looked after me all these years.
Fantastic. Okay. So what advice would you give to these young people who are watching you just now?
Well, to think of others as well as yourself.
Well, thank you very much indeed.
She's 96 now. She's going to be 97 next birthday. And she used to be a scary woman. But I asked Lindsay, when she hit 90, she started to mellow. But it's interesting. You say, what would you say about your life? My mum's done amazing things. Like, she ran off to Aberdeen from Fraserburgh when she was a teenager, and then she didn't stop there. She wanted to go to China, ended up in India around about the time of partition, was running a hospital when there are Pathans at the doors wanting to shoot the Hindus. No, you can't come in. All this sort of stuff. It's quite heroic. And yet she said, eat simple foods. Oh, what do we know about Jesus' mum? Who can tell me something about Jesus' mum? She's called Mary. Well done. Yeah. Anything else we know about her? She was married to Joseph. Yes. What else do we know? She had a baby called Jesus out of wedlock. Out of wedlock. Quite a tough start in those days. Anything else? She's very young. Yeah. Teenager probably herself. Yep. She's from Nazareth. Very good, Alex. Yes. You'll go far. She was widowed for years. That's right. So she had quite a tough life. You know, you wonder if it was Jesus making a DVD of his mum, what she would say. You know, eat simple food. But I want to look at, it'd be a mistake to think that Jesus' family was a perfect family. And I want to look at a bit of scripture that gives us, sort of opens the lid on some of the tensions in Jesus' family, okay? If you want to look it up, it's in Mark, well, actually it's there, so you don't have to look it up. Because that's the reading I'm going to look at. So, and there's a puzzle in this reading, because you'd think Jesus would love his mum, but in this reading he doesn't seem to treat her very well, and we're going to try and understand what's actually going on. So I'll just read it for you, you can follow. Then Jesus, mother and brothers arrived. Jesus was in this sort of village teaching away and surrounded by crowds. Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone in to call him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, "Your mother and brothers are outside looking for you." "Who are my mother and brothers?" he asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my mother, is my brother and sister and mother." I mean, just imagine that for a second. This is in a village about 20 miles from Nazareth. So Jesus' mum and his younger brothers had just walked 20 miles to see him. And when they get there, he's surrounded by all these thousands of people, and they want to see him. So they eventually persuade someone to go in and tell him, "Your mother and your brothers are outside." What does he say? "Oh, fantastic. Back in a second, folks. I'll go and give him a hug." No. He doesn't drop everything and rush off to see them. "Are you all right, mum? Do you want to sit down? I'll get you a cup of water. You walk 20 miles. You pour..." No. He just completely ignores them. And he says to those sitting around about him, "Who is my mother and brothers?" Like he's disowning them almost. And he says, "Here are my mothers and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." You know, how many people here know Clive Beach? Okay, at this point, Clive Beach would say, "Well, what's that all about?" Wouldn't they? "Well, what's that all about?" So we're going to try and work out what it's all about. Okay, and we're going to do it. We're going to be detectives, and we're going to use three questions. Okay, how many questions are we going to use?
Three.
Yes. And here they are. First question is, why had they come to see him? The second question is, why were they not there with him in the first place? And the third question is, when they got there, why did they stand outside? Okay, those are the three questions we're going to look at. It's not going to take us too long. First question is, why had they come to see him? And now, you may have your Bibles open. If you have, you can look back earlier in Mark chapter 3, and you'll find out why they had come to see him. Mark chapter 3, verse 20. Just listen. If you haven't got it turned up already, just listen. Then Jesus entered a house. This is at this village. And again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, "He's out of his mind." When his family heard about all that was going on, they went to take charge of him, for they said, "He's out of his mind." So why had they come? To take him home. Absolutely right. They loved him. They're worried about him. They'd heard all these rumors about him. In between that verse and today's passage, there's a great big debate about whether or not he's possessed. So they've heard rumors. He's lost it. He's doing all this weird stuff. And they love him. And they believe the rumors. And they go. They're gonna somehow take him home. They're going to take him out of this situation where he's doing all this weird stuff. And they're going to take him home where he belongs. Away from all this silly nonsense. You sort of get the gist of all this. and it'll be for his own good. Okay, that's the first question. Second question, why were they not there with him in the first place? You see, if they had been with them, they would have known that the rumors were wrong. They'd have known he wasn't mad. They'd have known all of that stuff if they had been with him. So why weren't they with him? Well, of course, the obvious answer is they'd chosen not to be with him. They'd chosen to stay in Nazareth. And maybe they had a house to run, they had a business to run, carpentry, all that sort of stuff. Maybe there's a good reason for that. He's going off doing all this stuff. Someone's got to look after the house. Someone's got to look after business. So maybe that's the reason. Although if you delve a bit further, you find out that there's a deeper reason. You don't have to look this up, but in John chapter 7, we learn that it has the line, even his brothers did not believe in him. So early on in Jesus' ministry, he had these brothers, he had quite a few, were given this clue, even they in his ministry did not believe in him. And now we pick up from earlier on in chapter 3 that even his mom's having her doubts. You know, all these amazing things happened to her. When Jesus was young, virgin birth, angels, all that sort of stuff. But it's funny how time just passes and you forget these things, don't you? I don't know if in your lives you've had amazing mountaintop experiences, amazing times. And then days pass, weeks pass, and somehow it fades. And in Jesus' mum's case, it'd been years, and somehow it all faded. And now she's got these rumors, he's making a show of himself, he's doing all this weird stuff, the authorities disapprove of him, well, there must be something wrong, he's lost his head, some people saying, you know, so the doubts are creeping in. Question 3. When they got there, why did they stand outside? Why didn't they go in? Why didn't they go in and see what was going on? Why didn't they stand outside? Go and bring him out to us. Was it because of the crowd? Oh, we can't get past all these people. Except other people were managing to get past all these people. Must have been possible. You make a very good detective, David. Well done. So yeah, it was possible to go in. Was it because they wanted a wee private conversation with them? Well, I mean, that's perfectly reasonable, isn't it? But surely they could have waited. Like, if I'm in the middle of preaching and my mum turns up at the door and says, John, I want you to come and speak to me. She'll know that she's got to wait because I'm in the middle of doing something else. Not necessarily just walk right. Yeah, she might be restrained, no. But even my mum would understand, you know. So it's not just that they want a private conversation. They could easily have a private conversation with them afterwards. Was it because they didn't want to mix with the crowd? You know, there's lepers and there's people with skin diseases and, oh dear, and beggars and tax collectors and, oh. I mean, is that, or maybe they just didn't want to associate themselves with all this weird stuff that was going on. And so instead, they get someone to go in and call him out so that they could take him home away from all this nonsense. So you see, they've got this problem. That's what's at the root of all this. This is not a perfect family. They've got this problem. And the problem is that they love Jesus, but on their own terms. You know, sometimes parents are like that. Sometimes families are like that. They love you as long as you stay the same, as long as you stay within their comfort zone. They love you. And if you stray out, they get worried about this. It's, oh, we better try and get them back on the straight and narrow. And it's like they're not open to the implications of change in your life. Let's take them away. Let's take them out of this. They're not open to what Jesus is saying. They don't want to go in and experience it. They don't want to see with their own eyes. They don't want to hear what he's teaching about. It's all just a bit too much for them. They want to just take him out, take him away. And Jesus' response, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" he asked. And he looked at those seated in a circle round them and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." What was Jesus doing at the time?
Making a point.
He was making a point, yes. Exactly. But before he started making the point, what was he doing when they interrupted him? teaching. What else was he likely to have been doing? Why were there huge crowds there? He was healing people. That's right. He was giving them hope. He was telling them about God. He was saying, listen, there's a better way than this. This morning, David was talking about bad religion. He's saying, listen, I'm bringing you something different. And they were flocking to him. They were coming in droves. So there he is. He's doing all this stuff. Whose will is it that he should be doing all this stuff? I never ask difficult questions, by the way. Whose will? God's, yes. He's doing God's will. He's doing his father's will. Who's trying to stop him? His mum. His brothers. So yes, he is making a point. You find that throughout Jesus' teaching, something happens, and he uses that to make a point. What's the point he's making? Get your priorities right, he's saying. Get your priorities right. Put God at the center of your lives. That's the most important thing. Of course, this is really, really difficult for us all, isn't it? Because it raises all sorts of questions. Look, because we've all got loved ones. Do we put them first? Do we put God first? What happens if we have to choose? So here's a lesson that I think we can learn from Jesus and the way he relates to his family, not just from this passage, but from the way he relates to his family in general. It's this, that being a follower of Jesus is doing God's will. And if you're doing God's will, you'll be aware that there will be people who will try and stop you. And the most difficult people to deal with are the ones closest to you. The ones who love you. I met a mum, talked about her son in these terms. Her son had started coming to church, but not just started coming to church. Had given his life to Christ. And he was getting all enthusiastic about getting involved in mission and all this sort of stuff. And the mum said, you know, I don't mind him going to church, but I don't like him getting carried away with it all. You know, and that's exactly what's happening here. She doesn't mind Jesus being a nice, pious guy, but let's not get carried away. And you know, maybe you've experienced that from someone you love. That sort of, they don't quite get it, how wonderful it is what's happening to you all. They don't mind you doing what they think is pious things or saintly things, but all this enthusiasm. And it works the other way around as well. It's not just mums and their sons. I remember taking a funeral when I first came to Liberton. And it was a man who was in his 70s. And he was a lovely guy. He was called Charlie. And 7 years before, he had discovered how much God loved him. And it had completely changed his life. Completely changed his life. And then he died. It was a good death. Sometimes death is good. For Charlie, it was a great death. Because he was going somewhere really special. In comes his sons and his daughters. And I said, all right, tell me about your father. Oh, he went a bit weird, they said. These last 7 years, he just hasn't been himself. I mean, isn't that sad? There was this lovely, lovely man who devoted himself to looking after people, a bit like my mum. And his kids just didn't get it. And, you know, the saddest thing was he'd chosen to be sung at his funeral service, How Great Thou Art. You know how great thou art. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder, when I think that, that God, his son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it. It's a lovely, lovely, lovely hymn with lovely, lovely words. And he wanted that to be sung at his funeral. And his kids refused to allow us to sing it. They said, oh, he wasn't himself. No, no, no. And they chose some, well, I can't remember what it was they chose, but so it sort of works both ways. When we're doing God's will, people will try and stop us. Usually people who are threatened by the change in us, and they want us to revert back to the way we were because it makes them feel safe. And the people hardest to deal with are the ones closest to us. So, how do we deal with them? Well, here's two things, and then we're going to have a prayer time. First, Jesus doesn't ask us to walk away from our loved ones. And that's very, very important. That must have been really dramatic because a piece of paper fell off the wall when I said that. So So hear ye. Jesus doesn't want us to disown or walk away or shed any responsibility. His mum was there when he was dying on the cross, and he got John to look after her. So at no point does Jesus shed responsibility for his mum. And Jesus doesn't want us to walk away from our responsibilities either. So being a Christian doesn't mean to say we have no responsibility for our loved ones. Okay? And the second point is a very simple one. It's the value of patience and the value of prayer. Jesus was patient and Jesus was prayerful. Jesus' family weren't perfect. They had their ups and downs, but he still loved them. And yes, there might not have been an immediate change, but by the time we get to Jesus being in Jerusalem, like I just said, his mum's there, so she must have followed him there. So gone are the days of her sitting at home listening to the rumors. She's now walking with him. She's now one of the disciples. And who was it that ran the very first church in Jerusalem after Jesus had risen from the dead and ascended? Who can tell me? James. Who was James?
Brother.
Jesus' brother. Jesus' brother. And the letter of James was written by Jesus' brother. Patience and prayer. If you've watched the Student Alpha videos, you'll hear Jamie Hay talking about this mother who had a terrible son, who was a complete waster. He was use your imagination, okay? And he got into cultic activity, and he would fritter away his money, and he was in all sorts of stuff that you shouldn't be into that was doing him in, and she just never gave up praying for him. And her son ended up being one of the most influential Christian writers of all time, because his name was Augustine. But his mother never gave up on him. And I should also say that my mom never gave up on me. I was 22 when I became a Christian. And the reason I became a Christian was because my parents never gave up on me. Obviously, God had something to do with it as well, you know what I mean? But my parents never gave up on me. So we can't disown, we can't walk away, and we should be patient and we should be prayerful. Okay, so now's the time for prayer. Families are God's gift to us, but that doesn't mean to say families are perfect, okay? And maybe there's someone here tonight, and something I've said is like I said right at the beginning, is touching an old scar in your life, and maybe it's something you need healing for, and you'd like some prayer for it. Or maybe you're in the middle of a family thing right now, and you need some wisdom and some strength to deal with it. Or maybe you know someone who's in either of those situations. If that's the case, I'm going to get Eck to play some violin music because I like violin music. So you can start doing that, Eck. Violin music, please. And if you want me or someone else to pray with you, just come forward and sit in one of these chairs. And some of the other prayer ministry team, if you come forward and if you see someone who needs prayer, could I ask if you're not... if that's not you, for you just to stay in the pews, but don't chat. Just stay in the pews and pray. Pray for what's going on. Pray for people you know. And eventually there'll be a cup of tea over there. Where's Lindsay? Lindsay, if you go and get the tea all sorted out. So if you know once you've just want a break or whatever, a rest, or just want to go and have a cup of tea or something, just make your way over there. Please don't stay around about here and chat, because that you'll just disrupt the praying that's going on, okay? So you either stay in the pews and pray, or else you oscillate, drift over there and have a cup of tea. But that's basically what's going to happen there. Before we do that, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the fact that Jesus was a real person, and he had struggles in his family. And we thank you for his mum, Mary, who was faithful but sometimes had her doubts. But we thank you that through his not giving up on her, and through his patience and through his prayer, he was able to bring around. And if there's someone here tonight who needs something talked through or prayed with or dealt with or healed, please give them the strength to take advantage of this time now. In Jesus' name.